After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Recording this on a Thursday night. The Kings playing their third game in four nights against the Spurs team playing without Victor Wembanyama. A Spurs team that has not won a game with Victor Wembanyama out of the lineup. The Kings got up by 20 and are thinking, maybe they just coast. No. Come on. It's the Kings. Of course not. The Spurs were red hot from three-point land. Despite being the worst three-point shooting team in the NBA, they were efficient tonight, came up with some big plays, and looked like they were on their way to a victory in Sacramento. But with under a minute to go, the Kings made some big plays. A Harrison Barnes bucket. A stop. A Malik Monk unbelievable first-team all-confidence three. Bang! And then Domantas Sabonis with the steal, the flush, and the Kings go up for good, winning tonight, escaping, just found a way, 131-129. They're now a season high, 10 games above 500. What a way to finish that game. Mm-hmm. Wow. Deuce Mason, Morgan Reagan, how you doing, Mo?
Well, doing good because they pulled out the dub, and how I was feeling throughout those final couple of minutes, that 8-point lead, like we've mentioned, felt like a million point lead or a 30 point lead. You can be a little bit more reasonable about it. Either way, was not feeling good. And for the Kings to still find a way after De'Aaron Fox fouls out, everything seemed like it was going wrong. Defense leading to offense. I'll take it. I love it. Great way to start the homestand, huh?
It was so frustrating at times tonight because I wanted tonight to be a boring game. What? I didn't want to care. I don't want to be like, you know what? They just take care of business, and I get it. We're not getting those type of games right now as we watch Sacramento Kings basketball. The Kings didn't knock down threes tonight. The Spurs, it seemed like, knocked down everything, whether it was contested or not. They were amazing from three. What were you going to say?
Pre-game.
Yeah.
You little shit. You said the same thing. You go, I want tonight to be a game. Mason Jones is getting in, and it's just smooth sailing for the Kings. And I even pregame, like, I wasn't going to act professional in this moment. I was just like, jinx, this is a jinx. Why are you saying this? Please don't say this. Every time that you say this in the NBA season, shit happens. And on top of that, no, I know we're going to talk about how you don't believe in jinxes, blah, blah, blah. But let's rewind. I wish we kept this as a moment because you have said to me before, either on air and off air, you said, don't let me do that anymore. Don't let me take these games and think that like it's going to be smooth sailing for the Kings ever. Yeah. You have taken a step back and done that. What happened to that, Deuce? He's gone. Bye.
So anyway, I said I want the Kings to do that. I didn't say the Kings are going to do that tonight. I didn't go in there walking in confident. I know who the Kings are. But what I said on the pregame was I want it to be a boring game. That it should be a moment for Sacramento to go out there, execute, and rest some guys late. I didn't say it was going to be, so that's completely different. Let's go ahead and throw your dumb take out, and we move on.
Can't wait to rewind the tape.
Wow, where do you want to start with this one?
I feel like we start in crunch time. Or do you want to...
No, let's go with that. I mean, De'Aaron Fox fouls out of this game. And Mike Brown decides to challenge it. What? Very, very confused at that moment. The Kings, you know, got it to one, but then, of course, the Spurs making plays down the stretch. With 57 seconds to go, De'Aaron Fox fouls Branham, and it was a clear foul. I mean, he reached, he made contact. It's a foul. Mike Brown decides to challenge it. Why? I don't know. I mean, it just seemed like a risk. Why not? You may need that challenge late. I don't know what the thought process was there.
And you said you might need it late. It was late.
I get it, but it was...
No, that's what I'm saying. It was late, and you might actually need it late. Like, there was... This game was still in reach. Why would you call for a challenge on that reach?
So, after Branham goes to the free throw line because it wasn't overturned, they lost the challenge, Branham knocks down two free throws to make it 129-124 with 57 seconds left. At that point, I don't think there was one person in the building who thought, hey, they got a chance here. De'Aaron Fox, who had been awesome for the most part in that fourth quarter with 17 of his points in that quarter, he's not in the game. It's going to take an absolute miracle. I guess they got it tonight. Harrison Barnes didn't waste much time. He went into attack mode finishing. It's 129-126. Plenty of time left. You don't have to foul. You could defend. The Kings defended. Branham misses a layup. And then coming down the court, Malik Monk pushes. Looks like he's maybe going to attack the basket. Pulls it back out and launches a three. That had me go, no. Yes, because he buried it. Here's how it sounded with G-Man on the call on the Sacramento Kings audio network.
It's 129-126, 45 seconds to go. Kings have to have a defensive stop. They battle. Pass ends up on the right wing. It's now in the hands of Branham. Branham now against Keon Ellis for the screen. Drives inside. Forces the shot. It's no good. Rebound. Track down. Malik Monk has it. Races up the floor. Is he going to drive it? He pulls up at the elbow. Circles back out. Steps into a three. He scores the triple. Game tied at 129. Malik Monk from the deep right wing did it solo. He's got 18 points.
He was 2 of 7 from three, but the biggest one of the night came there. Unbelievable shot. What did you think about Malik taking that shot there?
You and I both, I think there was no camera on both of us at this point. I think you and I both looked at each other and it wasn't an instant like, yeah, it was an instant like, no way. Like jaw dropped, like how was that the decision? How did he make that?
After the game, Malik Monk was asked about that shot. He was asked what was going through his head when he took that late triple. Quote, it's going in, end quote. Of course, there's Malik Monk. Of course it's going in. So now we're tied up at 129. Are you kidding me? That's with 23.3 seconds to go. Branham with a bad pass, right? This is crazy. This is a crazy sequence, right? Yeah. So it's 129-129 on the inbounds. Sabonis with the steal and breakaway jam. What?
The defense got the stop the last time. Can they do it again? Crowd standing here at Golden 1 Center. The defensive chance loud. And there's the steal. It's Sabonis. Breakaway. Domas with a two-hand rip. Kings lead 131-129. 7.7 seconds to go. Popovich out in the center of the floor has got smoke coming out of his nostrils like a Chicago Bull. He was angry and barking at the official. The Kings with a 7-0 run, but it's not over. 7.7 seconds to go.
G-Man's been around a long time. He's called every year of Sacramento Kings basketball. He knows this shit's not over.
And that's exactly what you and I were saying, too, at the NBC desk. We were like, okay, seven seconds? Was it, I believe it was
7.7 to go.
7.7 to go. And I not for a second, I was like, Deuce, the way that this team is shooting tonight, it could happen. They could get a three.
I'm still amazed that Sabonis was able to get that steal there. Like, what a bad pass. It was so easy.
Not only that, though, how many centers in this league are doing that in one of the biggest moments of a game at the top of a key, right? So it's not like, oh, as I choke, it's not like he's just getting a steal, taking a jump stop and waiting for one of his guards to run their lane to push it in transition. This guy gets the steal and pushes that shit all the way up himself.
And here's how the final play went with the G-Man on the call.
Sochan on the near side will put it in play. He's looking for help. The entry pass to Collins. Collins gives it off to Vassell. It'll be up to Vassell. He rocks. He fires. He misses. The rebound. Sochan put back. Off the iron. No good. At the buzzer. And the Kings miraculously get the victory. And pandemonium reigns at Golden 1 Center. Popovich comes down to congratulate Mike Brown. And he continues to make whatever point he was trying to make with the officials, and they talk earnestly face to face below us. And the Kings are victorious. I don't know if they deserved it. Well, of course they deserved it. When you score seven unanswered to win it, you deserve it. But my goodness, what a tremendous job done by the San Antonio Spurs, and the Kings pull it out of the fire.
It's amazing.
G-Man speaking the truth.
It's how we all felt, and that's why tonight's poll question is this. How are you feeling after the win? The options, happy slash mad all at once. Amazing they found a way, and then disappointed. 48% of people saying happy slash mad all at once.
Okay.
45% say amazing found a way. 6% say disappointed. My rule is pretty simple. You can't get mad at a win.
Nope.
You could be upset with some things that went down, but like, we're not going to be upset that they won a game tonight. You definitely have to acknowledge some of the things that went wrong for sure. And Mike Brown is not going to be happy with some of the stuff he saw tonight.
You can be upset.
Yep.
You can criticize the way that they got the win, but you cannot ultimately be disappointed when there's a W, especially if you are a Kings fan out there and you have lived the life of being a Kings fan for this damn long. No way. Appreciate a W. I don't care if it's against the San Antonio Spurs, and then we can dissect it all and talk about what we didn't like, though.
Coming into this game, Morgan, the Spurs were last in three-point percentage at 34% from downtown, last in the NBA.
Okay.
Sacramento, last in three-point defense, allowing teams to shoot 39.7%. Tonight, San Antonio, 16 of 34, 47%. But I dig a little deeper when we look at this stuff, because I'm going, you know what? I've watched some Spurs basketball lately. They've been pretty competitive as of late, even in some tough games. They had a win against Indiana. They had a win against OKC. That was really good. So what's it look like lately? I'm about sample sizes. How about this? Last 10 games, San Antonio is 8th in three-point percentage in the NBA. Vassell, during that stretch, 42% from three. Branham, 45% from three. Trey Jones, 43%. Osman, who left the game with an ankle injury, 38% from three. And Keldon Johnson, just under 38% from three over the last 10 games. So they are shooting more effectively from beyond the arc. But I thought what was disappointing tonight, Sacramento, it was less about some of the three-point makes. They hit some tough ones tonight. Mm-hmm. Some of the shots, I'm like, are you shitting me? Like, the Spurs, you're so irritating. You're a 13-win team and you're knocking down contested shots. Are you kidding? I felt like the Kings let some of those shots deflate them. I thought they let their turnovers deflate them tonight. Mm-hmm. The biggest stat of the game is not the three-point shooting. It was the points off turnovers in this game. San Antonio turned the ball over 12 times. turned into 16 points for Sacramento. Sacramento turned the ball over one more time. 13 turnovers turned into 27 points.
Right there. So those points off turnovers, those three-pointers being made by the San Antonio Spurs, it's deflating. Completely understand. Yep. Pedal to the metal. I don't give a damn what's going on out there. You find a way to fight back and remain resilient. Now, ultimately, they did remain resilient, right? Because they pull out the win in the fashion that they did. But because we had just seen such great basketball with them against the Los Angeles Lakers the night before, I get it. You could even gear things toward, hey, were they a little tired out there? But every team is doing this, especially at this time of year. Everyone is a little bit banged up. You got to find a way to fight through mentally and physically to play better basketball. And I just thought that they could have played such much better basketball. I thought the Spurs were hitting them with that physicality and a lot of physicality. The refs weren't even calling so many things. I thought they weren't calling things both ways at times. Both teams started being very physical with one another, which I kind of like to see. But at the same time, when it started altering things, or when Domas was unable to get a rebound because it was a gang rebound by the San Antonio Spurs and they were taking his arm down or holding it down. We saw Zach Collins do that at one point with Sabonis. That's when it gets a little bit more frustrating.
Yeah, and I felt like Fox and Sabonis specifically looked gassed at times tonight. Third game in four nights. I know you say everyone's got a tough schedule.
That's
fair. 3-4 is tough no matter what. But the Kings, like Sabonis and Fox, you don't have to play a lot late if you just handle business. Mm-hmm. And I thought one area where the game changed is when you take that 21-point lead, it's 61-41 with 4:34 to go in the first half. I'm looking at that score going, what's the next 4.5 minutes going to look like?
Yeah.
Okay. You're up 20. Are you going to allow them in? The Kings allowed them in. The Spurs scored 18 points in the final 4:34, outscoring Sacramento 18-10. All of a sudden at the half, it's 71-59. That score, the Spurs are back in reach again.
Yeah.
So that hurt you. Third quarter, they keep cutting into it. Kings up by 5 going into the fourth quarter. They're in the game, and that's what's frustrating. You had your chance to close the door when you're up 20, and they had some bad turnovers. And that's, I get they're tired 3 games in 4 nights. You can't let the turnovers deflate you. If you start hanging your head.
Well, and that's it. That's it, Deuce. It felt like a mentality shift, like, oh, maybe we don't have it tonight. And it's like, no. Everyone's here consuming this. You have it. Like, everyone's trying to channel that energy and root you guys on. You find a way. You have it. And you talk about those moments that the San Antonio Spurs team came back into this and kept chipping away at that 20-point lead. If this was a team with experience, if this was not such a young team, the Kings are probably, and I mean, like, what am I really saying here? The Kings are probably not winning that game. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is even Greg Popovich was talking about in his post-game presser just how they were making young team mistakes. And the Kings had that on their side and were able to capitalize on that in the last 54 seconds.
I know we're talking a lot about the Kings, and there's definitely good from this game, okay? But let's be honest. They had to escape with a victory tonight over this Spurs team without Victor Wembanyama tonight. The Spurs made NBA history in this game tonight.
How?
They had 39 assists in this game. And you're going, okay, that's a crazy amount. That is. That's not the history. The Spurs just broke the all-time NBA record for most consecutive games with 20-plus assists as a team. They've had 20 or more assists in 121 straight games. They break the Lakers streak of 120 from 1984 to 1986. Kind of crazy that that happens with a 13-win ball club. But why I'm bringing this up is to emphasize this. This Spurs team doesn't always play like a 13-win team.
Mm-mm.
They've got young talent. Vassell is an absolute dog. This guy hits tough shots. He's not scared of the moment. This team plays hard. And it's a credit to Popovich and the players, that the culture that they have in San Antonio, that they could be a 13-win team, and they're still going to compete late in March. These guys aren't rolling over. Popovich is ripping a guy for missing a defensive assignment. He's holding these guys accountable. They share the ball. They play hard. They just make some mistakes because they're young and they don't have all the talent in the world. Yep. But they deserve a lot of credit for competing their asses off, as they are in March now. This season technically doesn't matter. They're not winning anything, but they compete. I admire that.
Absolutely. I mean, they got a win over OKC a couple nights ago or a week ago, whatever that was.
They against
got a
Indiana, win too.
Over Indiana. Yeah. I mean,
they fight.
It was something that we said in the beginning of the season when I think they got those two wins, and we're looking at the Spurs team because
they're Victor 3-3
is must watch TV. And you and I were like, oh shit, the Greg Popovich really coaching them to a different level. Now, it didn't end up actually being sustainable and lasting because of all their other flaws, being a young team and everything. But the one thing that you can count on with them every single night and in every single matchup with the Sacramento Kings has been their effort, their physicality, and just playing like dogs. All of them out there, they do not let up.
For the second consecutive night, the Kings have 76 points in the paint.
Yeah.
That's a crazy number.
Love
76
it.
Points in the paint to 52 for San Antonio. Sacramento was 38 of 55 in the paint. That number, 76, probably could have been 90 tonight. And that's, as we talk about the Kings, and yes, they won the game, they didn't attack. To me, they had to finish more at the rim. They had to attack the paint more. They weren't knocking down the three tonight. They are 10 of 32 from beyond the arc, 31%. The Spurs could not defend the paint at all. And it wasn't until the fourth quarter where I felt like the Kings really tried to expose that a lot. Fox was going crazy in that fourth quarter, trying to attack. I actually want to look at his fourth quarter. So Fox, this is perfect. In the game, Fox had 24 points in the paint. Okay. Fox on the night finished with 33 on 14 of 32. He had 24 points in the paint in the game. In the fourth quarter, 16 in the paint. 16 Damn. Of his 24 points in the paint came in the fourth quarter, and I felt like he was settling a little too much. I don't know if it was third game in four nights. He didn't want to attack. He was taking too many threes for me, 1 of 7 from three. When he started going and attacking the rim, he had great success, with the one exception being when Jeremy Sochan blocked his shot late.
And that was going to be my point. You and I kind of talked about this before going into night chat, and that was talking about De'Aaron needing to attack all these different things. I said to you, there was moments where I thought Sochan was not scaring him, but stopping him in some ways in the paint. And when I say stopping him, not stopping his handles, not stopping the way that he'd get deep into the paint. But for example, De'Aaron Fox had a few baseline cuts where Sabonis would find him on the cut. And instead of doing a nice little reverse, like even creating that space from you and the defender, and the defender being 6'8 Sochan, who has that long reach and that defensive mind, it felt like De'Aaron every time, instead of doing that reverse, would stop with the jump stop and take a look, dribble it out. And I was like, why isn't he like making a move even when he's right there? And it felt like Sohan's presence was truly being felt with his length and ability to maybe shadow the basketball and block some shots. But De'Aaron Fox still did a fantastic job of finding a way to get into the paint. I know he was 1 of 7 from three-point land, and those were the only moments that you and I were kind of like, oh, keep pushing.
Yeah, 8 of 12 in the paint in the fourth quarter for Fox. 16 points in the paint in the quarter.
Damn.
So that was good stuff. 33 points for him. He also had 5 assists, 5 rebounds. Fox, I don't remember the last time he's fouled out of a game.
Yeah, I can't. And I couldn't tell you.
I don't know if it was being tired, you're reaching a little more, you're trying to fight. I mean, I don't know what it was, but he fouled out this one. The other good tonight, and we're going over all the highs and lows for sure. Domantas Sabonis. This guy's just tough, man. This guy, 31 points, 17 rebounds, 9 assists. He had a block, that steal at the end, 14 of 19 shooting. He knocked down his only three-point attempt in this game. What stood out to you about what Sabonis was able to do in this game tonight, Morgan?
I don't understand how I think it sounds so homerish when you look at one player and you go, God, they're so good and aggressive, blah, blah, blah. If you are an NBA fan and you are just going to watch highlights of Domas battling for a rebound, that was it. Not even going, oh my gosh, what is he doing at the high post, putting it on the floor, or oh, going from rim to rim. Screw all of that. Just watch the way he battles and times out rebounding the basketball. It is art. It is not easy to do, and especially in a league with some of the best and biggest players in the world. And I am just so fascinated by his ability to find a way to corral all these rebounds in a game, especially when someone like Zach Collins was all over him. And when I say Zach Collins was all over him, they were all over each other. There was no like, why didn't he get this call? Everyone was physical.
There was that one possession when it was a one-point game, 125 to 124, where there was just an all-out battle, multiple opportunities to try to get a rebound. He also had some really good defensive moments. We mentioned the steal at the end, but with a minute 55 to go, Sabonis and Keegan blitzed the ball, forcing a turnover. That was really nice. You mentioned the rebounding. Sabonis in the fourth quarter had six rebounds. Six of his 17 rebounds came in the fourth quarter. Three of those offensive rebounds. He also had 7 points in that quarter, along with that steal and the block.
And
he's a beast.
But, Deuce, and here's the other thing that I forgot to mention. These were gang rebounds by the San Antonio Spurs. You saw the Spurs jerseys in here, and they were doing a great job at, you know, a lot of the points that they were chipping away at the lead and finally getting that 8-point lead, they were doing the best job about finding a way to angle themselves to make sure Domas wasn't going to get a rebound. It's a hard task to do. And finally, when Domas just kept breaking through, it kind of broke them a little bit more and more. And I just love to see that he had three of his six rebounds being offensive rebounds.
Big time stuff from Domantas Sabonis in this game. Morgan, we got to give love to the people.
Yeah, we do.
The people on a second consecutive night showing up live, hanging out with us after this Kings win. Appreciate you guys watching us live. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We are inching closer and closer. I'll see it when it hits. I think we're like 6 to 7 subscribers away from 15,000 subs.
Get out.
Let's get to 15,000. Maybe by the end of the night, we'll find out. Don't want to get
greedy.
Don't be greedy. But we are getting closer and closer. Appreciate people in the chat. Ben says, I hate the booing. We didn't stick through this together for 16 years for fans to be pulling this shit in Sacramento. Yeah, you know, it was 114-106 when the Spurs went up 8 with 7:59 to go. I noted it. That's when the boos were out.
Ooh.
I mean, this is a fan base that has been frustrated because this team has lost to shorthanded teams at home this year. If this was a one-game thing, they're not booing like that. But the reality is, when you go to the arena and you see your team up 20 against a shorthanded team, you want them to close the door, and then you start seeing it whittle away, and then it looks like it's about to collapse. This fan base, with 21 games to go, is going, what the F? I'm pissed. But we should also know, coming out of that timeout, they were all on their feet, going crazy.
Yep.
Because Scott Freshar, the MC, got them all amped up.
Job,
so it was, hey, the boos are, wake the F up. Like, let's go. Some people don't like them. I get it. I'm not a big booer, but I don't have a problem with people booing.
And
sorry.
Here's what else I'll say. I mean, I think sometimes, too, when you get a game against the San Antonio Spurs on a Thursday night, people going into this game knowing Victor Wembanyama wasn't going to be playing, maybe they started selling their tickets. Maybe you even have more casual fans at a time. And a more casual fan might understand what the record is for the San Antonio Spurs, but not all of their stats and who some of the players are, and be like, Kings should beat this team. This is how the math plays out for me. And if they don't beat this team, then Kings are bad and I am booing. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying how some minds work. I mean, you said it on the postgame show. Someone was tweeting at you that they were They were mad that you were getting excited about a Kings win because we shouldn't be excited because it was in the fashion that it was.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't subscribe to that. You win. I'm taking the win. We don't accept in victory what we would not accept in defeat. Jesus. I do want to take a quick second. We've officially gotten to a number that we've been trying to get. It didn't take long after I said it. We have reached 15,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. Sacramento Kings fans around the world, NBA fans around the world.
You guys.
Thank you. We appreciate you. All it does is help us grow, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I know, Deuce, for you and I, like, ever since we started this, we love these milestones.
Yes.
And we don't, I know some people, there's like people out there with 100,000, 50,000, 1 million. And it's like that, they're like, that's cute. To us, like, these numbers mean so much to us. And you guys taking the time out of your evenings to spend with us and to even subscribe. Just thank you. These things are really cool. Thanks.
Hit the thumbs up too. That helps us grow. Aww. It's a big deal. And thank you guys so much. And now the chase is on for 100,000.
And now the next milestone. We do
85,000 subs to go.
We want the 50,000 plaque in one day. One day.
What? They don't have 50,000.
I think they have 50,000 plaque.
It's 100. It's 100.
Shit.
Anyway, back to talking about this game. Something that we really need to talk about. I can't believe we are, I don't know, half hour into this. Keon freaking Ellis.
I am so glad we got to talk to him after the game, Deuce, because you have been talking about this guy even before. It was, that's when you really started the Minnesota start for Keon Ellis.
Yeah, I mean, the Minnesota start, he came in and made things happen right away. He doesn't play the next game. Then he plays against the Lakers and was fantastic last night. Mm. He helped change the game. The Kings go on a 10-0 run to end the first quarter against the Lakers because of the energy he brought. Same thing tonight from Keon Ellis. He just comes in and makes plays. I mean, immediately getting an offensive rebound, getting a steal, plays the passing lanes well, great help defender, always having active hands. One of my favorite highlights from Keon Ellis tonight was when Sohan tried to post him up. Jeremy Sohan, 6'8".
Yeah, he is.
Keon Ellis, I don't know, 6'4", I don't know, whatever. Serious size advantage, size and strength. You wouldn't have known it seeing Keon Ellis late in the shot clock battle him in the post. Sohan ends up giving it up. It was tremendous post defense. The guy gets steals. He gets rebounds. Oh, and by the way, he can knock down the three. Tonight, he comes off the Kings bench, plays 17 minutes, 11 points. He has 2 steals, 2 rebounds, 4 of 6 shooting, 3 of 5 from downtown. He's not scared of the moment. Mm-mm. He plays with physicality, despite him not looking like the strongest guy. He's strong. I love what Keon Ellis brings, and I got to be honest, those minutes need to go up, 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 up.
When you and I started calling G League games with Keon Ellis,
yep,
we saw what he was capable of doing on the defensive end. And we're like, whoa. Then there was that season that we started seeing his offense pick up, or maybe it was toward the end of the season, and we saw his offense starting to pick up and him creating for himself, creating for the team, being confident, putting the ball on the floor, and just doing so much more. And it was like, okay, he's more versatile than we thought. And then these opportunities come up in Sacramento, and he keeps capitalizing on these opportunities. But then he gets DMPs. And instead of being in his own head, which, by the way, if you've played sports before, which I feel like a lot of people that maybe watch basketball, have played any type of sport in your life.
Relax, Morgan. I don't know about that.
In any way, shape, or form. On the blacktop, whatever. I mean, you know. Well, not on the blacktop, directly, whatever. You know how difficult it can be when a coach could maybe take you out of your game and you don't have the mental capacity to handle this type of thing and you're just not going to play the same way. Keon Ellis, in the respect that he has for Mike Brown, but the respect that he has for Mike Brown, has led to him being successful in this role. And I just love his contributions and what we're seeing from him right now.
He plays bigger than he is.
Yes.
And he doesn't seem scared. He brings something that the Kings lack a lot of times, mm-hmm. and that's a guy that's going to be relentless with his on-ball defense. He did it last night against D'Angelo Russell. At times tonight, dealing with Vassell, he just tried to make life more challenging. He was everywhere. And, you know, it's one of those things you look at his game and go, this guy, it could be a success story. He was on a two-way contract last year, undrafted. Even if you want to rewind before this, he was a junior college player, went to Alabama, undrafted, two-way contract, spent most of the year last year playing for the Stockton Kings in the G League. This year, spending a lot of time with Sacramento, starting some, four games when Fox is out, 4-0 when he starts, getting some minutes and not playing at all for a long stretch. He gets his name called. The dude's ready to go. Like, I'm watching how he plays right now, and I said this last night. With 20-something games to go, you're on a mission to get into the top six. You got to play some of your best guys. And his minutes have to go up. Kevin Huerter right now is struggling. Kevin Huerter's year, this has kind of been his career in Sacramento. We can all acknowledge the things that he helps with offensively, oh, right? Yeah. When he's locked in, he could space the floor with his shooting. His ability to playmake with Sabonis, you know, get
move
into the
paint. Without the basketball.
Move without the, he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
He is getting exposed and targeted more and more defensively. He had some solid moments defensively tonight, and then some really, really tough moments defensively tonight. The reality with Kevin Huerter's game, though, is he's been more down than up this year. He's had some stretches where it looks like he's turning the corner, but when it's low, it's really, really low. Tonight, Keon Ellis played more minutes than Kevin Huerter. I don't know if that's going to be the thought process going forward. I imagine Mike's going to keep putting Kevin Huerter out there for now. But I think the Kings looked their best tonight.
Yeah.
When Keon Ellis was on the floor.
We talked about this last night after the Kings got the win against the Lakers. Kevin Huerter, HB, slow starts. Didn't see many minutes in that first half. They started the second half. Love it. Stick with what you know. But you still ended up playing some of the bench guys more, right? With Kevin Huerter tonight, I still like them going into the direction of starting their guys, but then having the shorter leash. That's what we were talking about last night. We go, hey, maybe that becomes their role. They are starters, and if they're not getting shit done in a category yeah. that Mike Brown puts a lot of stock into, then that's when the shorter leash is going to come in.
I think that's the tough part with Kevin Huerter, too, is his defensive liabilities get exposed even more on this team because have other holes, right?
Like yeah.
Sabonis works his ass off, gets vertical and all that, but Sabonis sometimes has to help. Then he gets into foul trouble, right? It puts him in some vulnerable positions. He's not known as being some crazy shot blocker, okay? The four spot with HB, there's some defensive issues with him as well. So it's that makes it really challenging. So you know Fox and Sabonis are going to get buckets out there. What you need with them are guys that can knock down some shots for sure, but also guys that can go out there and get stops. And so I'm very curious with this final stretch of the season, if we do see Keon continue to earn more minutes, if he's knocking down the three, hitting open threes like he did tonight, the guy was 3 of 5 from downtown and wasn't scared to shoot it. And you know what he's going to do defensively. Doesn't matter who he's going up against. He's going to compete. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to play more minutes. That's all there is to it.
And one more thing to what you were saying about Kevin Huerter and his defensive flaws. I think something that maybe this organization was banking on, and I know I was kind of hoping for, was the leap in defense as a team. Yeah. And I thought maybe the team defense would take that little bit of a leap where it could really cover up the flaws. You know, you see that on some of the best teams, on some of the good teams in the NBA where it's like they just have some really good players. And if this one player is going to get targeted, they have a great second line of defense to really clean things up. And with the Sacramento Kings, it's everyone still developing and getting better as individual defenders and working on themselves and what they can actually do, whether it's the second line of defense or really putting that pressure on along the perimeter, that they can't focus on his flaws as well. And ultimately, that's what you hope your team can get to. So if you had four good defenders and one guy out there where it's like his flaws were obvious, that the team defense would eventually be good enough.
When Herter's locked in, he can knock down shots. His length at 6'7" can bug some guys. He rebounds and can play make. But it feels like when he gets low and he gets down, he gets hard on himself. This is the result, and he's not as productive. He missed all of his shots tonight. He was 0-for-5, 0-for-3 from beyond the arc. He finished with no points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, and a steal. But I think Mike's got to keep putting him out there. And I think what you just said is exactly right. Look, he didn't play a lot against the Lakers because when they got off to a slow start against LA down 19, they went to the bench. The bench performed. He went with those guys. Tonight, he didn't play a lot of minutes. Why? Keon Ellis had an impact. I think that's what it's going to look like. He's just going to have a short leash.
Yeah, the short leash, because his size alone, what is he, 6'7", Herter?
Yeah.
6'7"? I mean, his size alone, you know, and is nice to have out there. But when it comes to his strength and his ability to move side to side on the defensive end, yeah, it just isn't good enough. And if it, but then there's other times where you see it like locked in for a play or two and you're like, yeah, this is like, how can you get here? I think it's just going to take work because he has a high defensive basketball IQ, understands where to be timing wise, but it's like the physical part he just really has to work on.
Yeah. And when he's in, I mean, he helps you so much when he's locked in. So you can keep rolling with him and hopefully he can turn it around. If not, you like how Keon is playing. You know, even Davion tonight, he's been playing some good basketball. He had 9 points, 4-5 shooting, 1-of-2 from beyond the arc. I was looking up before the game because there was a number, I think, on NBA Reddit or maybe Kings Reddit where they were discussing his 3-point shooting since January. It's been really strong for Davion Mitchell. But specifically this season from the corner three, he's shooting 42% from the corner.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a good number. So that's been the knock on him for his entire career. He has not been consistent from three. Davion lately, that's the good news. He's knocking down his three. He's being aggressive. I don't know what the conversation was, but it seems like when he gets in there, they're making a point like, Davion, we want you to attack. We're going to put the ball in your hands. Try to create something. Yep. Don't be afraid to take the shot. He's been working on it. And lately, it's been all right.
And because his shot selection isn't chaotic. You know, he's not just trying to chuck some shit up there and going, all right, if I get enough shots up and I'm aggressive, then I'm going to stay in the game. No, it's the shot selection that really matters. And him on that catch and shoot three is looking pretty, but his ability to put the ball on the floor if he makes a quick decision with it, whether it's putting the ball on the floor, attacking the paint, defense collapse, spray three, or if the decision is, I got a big coming up, I can make a little floater, I can have a little step back midi. He is capable of doing that, just hoping that he can keep making those decisions quicker and quicker.
You know me, I try to multitask a lot during this show, and it irritates Morgan sometimes because I look at the chat. There's so many people chatting. I want to get the people chatting, right? There's been a lot of talk about Keegan Murray tonight.
Okay.
Keegan Murray took only 4 shots. He played 30 minutes tonight, had 3 points. I'm going to tell you something right now. If Keegan Murray's playing 30 minutes, he's doing something right. Even if he's taken 4 shots. I noticed before the game, he had that, what is it called, kinesio tape on the shoulder?
Starts with the K.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. I don't know. Not a trainer.
You're not a sport?
I'm not an athletic trainer. Mm. On his shoulder. And wasn't he wearing that shirt tonight?
And then he was wearing the shirt over it.
Keegan's, it's not listed, all right? I don't know this for a fact, but when I see tape and I see that shirt he's wearing, I'm going, he's got something going on. I think he's got some injuries. He's nicked up. He's got some nagging things going on. He doesn't look 100% to me. But when he is out there, you have to watch what he's doing defensively. This guy's competing his ass off. He made some big defensive plays last night against the Lakers. He played some good defense tonight. He's fighting through things right now. And this is where you need other guys to lift up offensively. I, of course, want Keegan Murray to turn into this 20-point-a-game score.
Sure.
I think there's so much pressure. There's people that just want him right now to be that. Like, this dude is in year two. He has expanded his offensive game. The shooting numbers have dipped, but his defense has taken a step. The next challenge for him going into year three is, how does he play this level of defense and find some consistency offensively? I've seen enough for him. I have zero doubt that he's going to be a good player in this league. Not worried about it. I just think right now he's banged up.
Yeah, and what year is De'Aaron in now? Six?
Seven.
Seven, thank you.
I think.
That is, whatever. It's past five, okay? And I look at De'Aaron over the years and how he has dealt with being banged up and how he now deals with being banged up. Is that because someone like Domas Sabonis came on this team and is like, no. We're all going to make sure we push through. We're all going to find a way.
Keegan's tough, dude.
And that's my point, is trying to find the way to push through, but being productive while you're pushing through. Because if you're taking down the team, then you're not going to see those minutes. But you're exactly
that's what I'm saying.
Right.
If Mike Brown thought he was passing up shots, not playing well, he's not playing 30 minutes. We have seen him yanked from games before, but he is out there because he's locking down defensively. And if Keegan is maybe off his game offensively for a minute because he's dealing with a shoulder thing or whatever, again, I'm speculating. I'm just going by what I saw. Saw the tape on his shoulder. I saw him wearing that shirt that he doesn't normally wear, maybe a compression shirt, I'm guessing. Is that what it is?
I love you trying to, like,
I don't know. I've never had a shoulder injury, okay?
I know. I have.
This guy competes his ass off defensively. So that's why he's on the floor. I'm not concerned about it. Of course, if he doesn't get healthy, it's like concerning from the standpoint that the Kings need him, especially on this run here in the final 20 games. But long term, not concerned.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. And so that's why I know tonight didn't produce much on the offensive end or enough. But you had some other guys step up, and seeing the bench being able to produce 47 points from that bench squad. And like you had already mentioned, the 76 points in the paint, just the way that the team was trying to remain aggressive and keep scoring in the paint. And when I say the team, I mean, a lot of it does have to do with Domas and De'Aaron with their 33 and 31 points.
Yeah, De'Aaron had 33 points. We mentioned Sabonis' big game for sure. Malik ended up with 18 points. He had 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 6 of 17 shooting. So not efficient shooting, but he hit the biggest shot of the night to tie the game. He was 2 of 7 from downtown. I think the one thing he really hurt the Kings tonight, some sloppy passing, man. I felt like he forced some things. He had 6 turnovers, 6 of the 13 Kings turnovers. But the good thing with him is late in the game, guy doesn't give a shit.
It's great. He's going to go ahead and
he's going
to
take the big shot.
And he did. And it was interesting too. I would have to go back and look at that, at those crunch time minutes. But I felt like there was a shot or two that he took that was super quick into the shot clock, or it was like a jumper and he just missed it, a mid-range shot, whatever. And I was feeling like, oh no, let's not put the ball in his hands. Like he wants to be the hero, and he's like not going to look for all the situations going on the floor. And in that G-man call, you know, you saw him trying to attack the paint, goes to the high post, turns around, backs up behind the arc, and then chucks up a 3. But it's because he understands what the team needed, and he understands what he's capable of doing. And when he's just feeling good, Malik Monk's going to get shit done.
Looking at the final numbers, the Spurs shot 51%, 47% from 3, 16 of 34. They were 21 of 21 from the free throw line. They had 39 assists and 12 turnovers, scored 129 points, and they somehow lost this damn game.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Their bench, you're talking about the Kings bench. Dude, Keldon Johnson, 22 points, 9 of 16. Branham, 23 points, 6 of 11. Blake Wesley, 11 points on 5 of 6 shooting. You also had Vassell drop 30 on the Kings. He's been a Kings killer this year. He was 11 of 18, 4 of 7 from 3. Zach Collins with 22, 8 of 17 shooting for him.
When you look at 16 made threes, it just, why did it feel like a million? And then even with their made threes, fantastic makes, most of them, right? With a hand in their face, whatever. But the way they were attacking the basket and how many times you and I would look at each other and go, how did they finish that? How were they finishing some of these shots over the verticality from Keegan Murray?
What was the one play late? I think I wrote it down. This is when I thought the game was over. Okay. It was Fox drive. Sohan had the block. Keldon Johnson had that unbelievable tough finish where he takes contact.
Yeah.
Like brought the ball down off balance, throws it up in. The Spurs are up 3, 127 to 124. And then Monk had a turnover. And then that's when Fox fouled out.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did they win this game?
I don't know. And that's why it's like what G-Man also said in his call. He goes, it doesn't feel like they deserve. Well, I guess they deserve to win if they had 7 unanswered points.
Here's why they deserve to win.
Why?
Because they got down and they kept competing. This is 3 games and 4 nights. I don't care. Like, oh, they make a lot of money. They travel well. It's 3 games and 4 nights. They just played a tough game against the Lakers the other night. Or last night. They came back. They went to bed. I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning. I was talking to Mason Jones today. Mason Jones, who was in LA last night, played for the Stockton Kings this morning at 11 a.m. I was talking to him before the game. I'm like, what time did you get in? He goes, oh, we landed at like 1:30. And then he was playing a game at 11 a.m. The schedule, no matter how they travel, is tough. Being down, they could have just been, whatever. They kept battling. Okay. My motto, I said it on post game on NBC Sports here California is this. In this final 21, 20 whatever games left, find a way. Find a way. I don't care if it's ugly. I don't care. Just get the W. Tonight's loss, if they would have lost this game, would have been devastating to me.
Devastating.
No, it would have been because this is a 6-game homestand that started tonight. 3 games that they play on this homestand are against teams below 500. The Rockets coming up next. And the Grizzlies are on this homestand. The other games are the Lakers, Bucks. You play those games on back-to-back nights. Sure. And then the Knicks. So you have to take advantage of these opportunities. There's no more losing to teams below 500. You have to just find a damn way.
Well, it was about to feel very consistent. The most consistent that you're going to see the Sacramento Kings lose to the Bulls, beat the Lakers, lose to the Spurs, you know, beat the next, whatever it was going to be. But I was feeling so heartbroken after that Chicago Bulls loss. And I'm like, why? Like, this is Deuce's bit to feel all this pain. Like, I for the most part, like, I feel hurt sometimes, but the Bulls loss was their worst loss of the season for me. That's how it affected me. And so the bounce back with the Lakers, it was like, I'm on the highest of highs. That can be a very bad relationship, very toxic when you go high and low and you never just meet in the middle. And tonight, I feel like a little bit more in the middle because it's like I went to a low during this game, but you find a way to put that W on your list,
yep.
And you're 7th in the Western Conference. The Warriors lose tonight. Someone else won tonight. Was it the Suns?
No, that's where I want to go, Morgan.
Oh, thank you.
I want to give some love to the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, yes.
You came here. You're down 22 and you won the game. The Bulls went on the road against the Warriors. Warriors cracked me up. And this is a great example of what 6 through 10 has been in the NBA this year, okay? Every time you think they turn a corner. So the Celtics kicked the shit out of the Warriors the other night, right? Mm-hmm. Then the Warriors come back home last night. Giannis is back. And they just handle the Bucks.
Huge win.
And they're feeling good. Tonight, Chicago comes to town and beats them 125 to 122. Steph Curry was just 5 of 18 in the game. DeRozan had 33 points. Vooch had 33 and 11. Kobe White had 20. And the Bulls get the road win over the Warriors tonight. So now Sacramento is three games up on the Golden State Warriors, which is pretty significant. You mentioned the Suns. They did win tonight. Okay. They escaped with a win over the Raptors 120 to 113. So the Kings don't make up ground there. But the Kings now have a three-game lead on the Lakers and the Warriors, who were pushing a little bit.
Yeah, and it is beautiful that they lost to the Chicago Bulls. I know. Thank you so much, Warriors. Just a little troll job there. Because it was when the Kings lose to the Chicago Bulls, it's like, this is what this team is. This is how it's going to be. So with a team as close in the standings to you as the Warriors, love to see it. Got to keep seeing this. What?
I do want to mention this. Shout out to the chat. And this is the thing. We were in Sacramento at the Golden One Center watching the game, so I didn't see what happened. Apparently, Steph, he was 5 of 18 or whatever I said. He left the game with an ankle injury, and Anthony Slater talked to Klay Thompson after the game. It sounds like Klay is prepping, like Steph Curry is going to miss some time after the ankle sprain. Draymond Green talked about Steph Curry, who was not in the locker room during the portion, open to reporters. He said, spirits are high, we'll see, think he might get an MRI. So, shout out to the chat for letting us know about that.
I don't want to see that.
That was Giedis. Letting us know in the chat. Appreciate that. Shout out to Fourth Quarter, whatever, in the who donated a super chat. I don't know the full name. Sorry, it's not showing up. Saying, need some magic love. Shout out to the magic. You know, the only thing I'm going to say about the magic right now, one thing.
What?
Deuce Mason's first ever favorite NBA team. The Orlando Magic when he was 5 years old. Penny and Shaq. The next thing I'm going to say is,
there you go.
Stay away from Malik Monk. You guys have cap space this summer. Stay away. Stay the hell away. Another super chat from our guy, Peter. Hey, guys. Love what you both do with the podcast. Always enjoy listening after the games. Lot of love from London. Light the beam.
Thanks so much, Peter. Hello.
Thank you.
No. I apologize for his outburst, Peter. My God. No.
I spent time in London. So.
Hello. Like, no.
What do you mean?
Just don't try to do an accent.
I thought it was pretty good.
Australian. Peter. Can you do Australian?
Nope.
You were going to do the same thing. You were going to be like, hello.
I can only do that one.
No, I can only do that one. You can't do that one.
I nailed that one.
Okay.
We got more of the podcast coming up. We got to look ahead to the Kings' next game against the Houston Rockets, who smacked them around earlier this year. We do need to mention that tonight's podcast presented by friends over at Northwest Exteriors.
Simply the best. Trust Northwest. Why? Well, they'll make your house prettier. They'll save you money. And they're all Kings fans. There's people there that have been working there for 20-plus years. Some of the nicest people ever, too. My sister just got a few windows done on her old home, and it's made a world of a difference, too. Some videos we'll be posting on social media soon about those as well. But truly, if you don't know what's wrong with your house, you probably need new windows. So make a call. Go check them out.
Who are you going to call?
Northwest Exteriors! Because you can get a free quote. And it can make life so much better.
Check out TrustNorthwest.com because they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
You did it.
I know I did. You're damn right I did.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Damn. All right, the Sacramento Kings with the win tonight. They are still in the seventh spot. They're a half game behind Phoenix, who we mentioned earlier, got the win tonight over the Raptors. They've won a couple games without Devin Booker, including that game the other night on the road against the Denver Nuggets. That was pretty impressive. Next up for the Suns, by the way, they take on the Boston Celtics. Let's go, Boston.
Yay.
Speaking of Boston, they were in Denver tonight. Maybe a finals preview?
Maybe.
Denver got the win 115-109. Jokic 32, 12, and 11 in the victory. They won this game despite the fact that Denver was 4 of 21 from downtown. That's crazy.
That's wild.
Jaylen Brown had 41 points in the game. Jason Tatum, 15 in the game. He was 5 of 13 shooting. So
it happens.
I'm excited to go back and watch that game. But a big win in a potential finals preview, Morgan.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, Denver Nuggets, when I look at them in the Western Conference, I feel like I've watched so much of them as of late. The night that they lost to, who was that they lost to?
The Suns. You watched so much of them, you can't remember.
Can I ever remember anything?
Nope.
Exactly. So why are we talking shit about that?
That's why you've got the basketball mind next to you.
Thank you. So yeah, even just watching them as of late, and even when they lost in that game, just the way that they rallied through, made it an overtime game, they're my Western Conference team that's going to come out.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've got the starting five, the cohesiveness. The question is their depth. Can they hang? But, you know, in the playoffs, your starting five is going to play heavy minutes. Another team that's obviously in the mix in the West, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Ooh.
They won tonight against Indiana. Anthony Edwards with a massive 44-point game. And they did it without Carl Anthony Towns. It's been reported he tore his meniscus, going to have surgery, should be reevaluated around the playoffs. So, yeah, the T-Wolves are going to be shorthanded without Kat. Sucks. It sucks for them. Obviously, Kat was having a really good year. He made the All-Star team. Shouldn't have been an All-Star. Hey. But he made the team. I think they'll be fine without him. They can survive.
That's it.
And this was a big moment. Anthony Edwards down the stretch was huge. He had a dunk. He said he hit his head on the rim tonight. Hard.
Seriously?
Yes.
Didn't he tweak his ankle in this one as well?
Yeah. Well, Anthony Edwards tweaks his ankle every game and looks like he's going to die. And then he comes back and has 44 points.
I'm alive.
I love him, man.
Yeah. And I think going back to Kat too, you know, we saw a lot of Minnesota without Kat earlier this season, and there was still success there.
Lil Ray's correction. Anthony Edwards hit his head on the rim on a block. That's what it was. See, I just heard that we're at a game. So thanks for letting us know. That's insane. He's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Morgan, who would be your rock and soul player of the game? Who would be the chat's rock and soul player of the game?
I'm going to go Domas Sabonis because he had that final defensive play that led to the game-winning bucket, dunk, whatever you want to call it.
Let's see.
Is that who it is?
What the people chose. The people being Deuce Mason. Yeah, it's good Domas job. Sabonis.
Good job, people.
31 points, 17 rebounds, 9 assists. Of course, 1 assist shy from a triple-double. 14 of 19 shooting. His 45th consecutive, his 45th consecutive double-double. And you're wondering, okay, where's that stack up? Well, according to the Kings, he has passed Moses Malone for the third longest double-double streak since the ABA-NBA merger. That was in 1976-77.
Jeez.
That is insanity. 45 consecutive, the third longest double-double streak since the ABA-NBA merger. He is a rock and soul player of the game. Gotta check out Rock and Soul.
Gotta check it out. It's only 6 blocks away from the arena, whether it's before a game, after a game, or even during a game. You can get 25% off appetizers, 25% off drinks during a Sacramento Kings game. Make sure to go check them out. Breakfast served all day.
Amazing stuff.
It's so good.
In the chat, a lot of people giving some bonus love. How about Justice? I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. Greetings from Domanis' homeland.
Oh.
Hell yeah. Lithuania, stand up. Scuba says, we don't need double-doubles. We need to get out of the first round. Look, you know what you need to do? Get in the top 6 first. You need to get to the first round. Yeah, but they don't have to get out of the first round this year either. This team needs to get into the playoffs, get another first-round series, and this offseason, tweak, 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 and then take another jump next year. Those 98-99 Kings, they got bounced out by the Utah Jazz after an epic five-game series. The next year, they got bounced out in the first round, okay? Success isn't always linear. You're not going to go, hey, we go first round this year, second round, third round, and then we go to the finals. No, you're going to have some ups and downs.
Thank you.
And now you got to learn how to tweak. Those 98-99 Kings, awesome against the Jazz. Well, guess what? 3 years later, looked a lot different. They made some big trades. Corliss Williamson was out. Doug Christie came in. Mike Bibby came in. Jay Will out. Things change fast. You have to evolve, and that's going to be the challenge. Internal improvement and evolving with trades and good moves.
Scuba would like you to know, though, that's not how his voice sounds like. He said, hey, yeah. That's not how my voice sounds like.
Sorry, Scuba. Michael in the chat says, Juice, you have a problem with Kings fans booing? We talked a little bit about this earlier. No, I do not. I'm not a guy that would boo, but I don't have a problem with it. I think they're not necessarily just booing tonight. If this was an isolated incident where you were maybe losing to a team that's below 500, fans probably accept it. But this has been, like, repeated, and it's late in the year. People are feeling antsy. This year hasn't been as smooth sailing. You've seen some disappointing losses. The fans voice their expression, their frustration, and guess what they did coming out of the timeout? They were on their feet cheering their asses off. Pretty simple.
Yeah, and again, I enjoyed the crowd for the majority of the game. I thought it was loud.
Oh, my God. Fun. At the end, it was so loud. After Sabonis had that steal and jam, it was insane. And look, the reality is this, man. They're tied with the season best, 10 games above 500. This is with everything that's been kind of up and down. They've won a couple in a row now, and now they have to take care of business in their next game against the Houston Rockets. Before we talk about that game, Morgan Reagan, what would be your Sharif Jewelers moment of the game?
Easy. Yeah. You already know.
I think it's a final 57 seconds.
Okay.
Although.
What?
That Fox to Monk alley-oop was pretty nasty.
Oh, my God.
That was a nasty play.
That was so nice. I mean, you could add that moment on there, but because this game was so up and down, we're not going to give love to too many plays. But you look at that final 57 seconds. You look at the defense to offense, Sabonis, just getting that steal, breakaway, dunk, puts him up by two, game over, practically game over.
Spectacular.
Yeah, so that's my Sharif Jewelers moment of the game. Make sure you go check out Sharif Jewelers. I think there's all these months, you know, where you go, it's Christmas or it's Valentine's Day. I seriously love stopping in and just seeing what's available. And I know for you, you've had so much fun looking at watches and seeing what you can actually rock with some of your suits for some of our broadcasts. Yep. But then also for someone like me who didn't know much about jewelry growing up, but seeing what is affordable, what I can actually put on, what I can utilize. And then for others, even just what some famous people are wearing. I mean, going down the line of like Kylie Jenner to Selena Gomez, they have all those brands that people are wearing. I know I've been looking it all up, but on top of all of this, they just make it so easy when you do walk in. It's never intimidating, and everyone's so sweet.
But here's the thing. All right. You can get jewelry repaired, too. But
oh, yeah.
All the Sharifs have been a staple in the Sacramento community for years.
They're amazing.
That defensive player of the game crown that the Kings get after wins most nights, that's made by Sharif Jewelers. But also, they're huge Kings fans. I mean, they've been in this area for years, locations everywhere, and a member of their family works at every location. Anyway, they're awesome. They support our podcast. We support them because they're good people. So check out Sharif Jewelers today. That's a good moment, Morgan. I like it. Next up for the Sacramento Kings, the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets, who smacked the Kings earlier this year in back-to-back games in Houston. They come into Sacramento 27-35 on the year. But if you want to take a little rewind with me, you go back to early in the season. The Kings were in Houston November 4th and 6th, both games without De'Aaron Fox. The Kings lost the first one 107-89, the next one 122-97. Any guesses You have any guesses who the leading scorer was in the first game against the Rockets?
For the Kings?
Yep.
Since you said it like that, I don't know. Kevin Huerter?
Malik Monk.
Okay.
He had 18 points in that game. Sabonis really struggled against that team. They were super physical with him, especially without Fox. Sabonis in that first matchup had 11 points, 15 rebounds. But, yeah, they were led in scoring by Malik Monk that night, 18 points. In the second game, any guesses who the leading scorer was for the Kings?
Keegan Murray.
It starts with a K-E.
Keon Ellis?
Keon Ellis.
What did he do?
He had 15 points as the Kings' leading scorer. That loss dropped him to 2-4 on the season. Sabonis in that game played 30 minutes. How about this? He did not have a double-double. 8 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Keon Ellis led the Kings in scoring that night off the bench with 15 points in 14 minutes.
How do you not have a double-double anymore?
I know.
You know? Disgusting.
Obviously, the Kings are different when De'Aaron Fox plays. That was earlier in the season. But this Rockets team, under Ime Udoka, they're going to play hard. Şengün is one of the most young and promising bigs in the game. He had that monster game against Victor Wembanyama the other night.
And in that monster game, it's not just like, oh, yeah, he's battling down low, finding his shot. No, no. He creates for others behind the back passes. His vision is incredible. The way that he can just find the open man. He's a little bit like Sabonis in that way. The anchor to their offense and creating. So you got to make sure to slow him down first.
I'm glad you mentioned that because last night against the Clippers, the Rockets were up. Clippers rallied back. In that game, Şengün had a triple-double, 23 points, 19 rebounds, 14 assists. He also had 2 steals in that game. And the game before that, against the Spurs, he had 45 points and 16 rebounds. The game before that, a win over the Suns, 21 points and 10 rebounds. So, obviously, one of the most talented bigs going. I can't wait to see what that game looks like. It's an early game, a 3 p.m. tip. We're going to be on a little later that night, probably around 6.
Yeah, so good little Sunday, a Sunday afternoon. What is that? Is that afternoon hoops?
Yeah, 3 p.m. is afternoon for sure.
Is it? Okay, yeah.
Believe it or not. Afternoon,
it's just so close to evening. Like, if it's a day off for me, 3 p.m. is evening. Like, that's dinner time.
Hacks in the chat, by the way, says, I guess we can't talk shit on free throws tonight. Finally. Kings were 17 of 18 from the line tonight.
Ugh. Love to see it. I'm not going to ask you. Even though I wish I could, what they did against the Lakers with their free throws.
They missed 2 against the Lakers.
Okay. So you're seeing some solid free throw making. And I think if we're going to shit on them when they don't make their free throws, we got to give some love when those free throws are starting to be made. Who knows what shifted? Either way, just keep making your free throws.
Final thoughts, Morgan?
Well, we are finally finishing up our 24-hour basketball marathon. And I love basketball so much, injected into my veins, that this was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. I'm definitely tired right now. And if you told me I had a game to call tomorrow morning, I'd be like, okay, if I have to. But instead, it's tomorrow night, so I'm good. But truly, everything is so fun, just talking basketball, being around basketball, all those things. But I have really enjoyed the community around basketball and all of you out there that have kind of just done this with us, whether it's on NBC Sports California or it's on the podcast. Or even just watching the call of the Stockton Kings. We're on K-Max tomorrow. We just really appreciate all the love and support, and I love hanging out with you guys.
It's really sweet. I'm with you. I echo that. I just realized, too, when you're saying NBC, I think I only have one more game this year on pre and post.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
March 18th, then.
Something like that. I don't know.
I know what it is.
One more game.
No. What?
I know. Got that Keon Ellis treatment, man. I'm going, every time I go out there, I produce. Just give me some minutes. I got a little dog in me. I get a little amped up. I get a little juiced. Anyway, but yeah, the last 24 hours, three games, two podcasts in 24 hours. We got another another game, like you said, tomorrow night. You can watch it locally on KMAX 31, a.k.a. formerly known as CW 31, the home of Good Day Sacramento. And you can also watch it on the G League website. Go to gleague.com in the app. You can watch us call the Stockton Kings. That's actually one I want to bring up. Here's a great positive note to end.
What?
We called the Stockton Kings game earlier today, 11 a.m. They played Mexico City, the Capitanes. Same team they'll be playing tomorrow night. Colby Jones, Kings rookie. We haven't seen him in Sacramento in a while. Get some minutes, right?
Beast!
This guy had 43 points tonight. Today. It was this morning.
Yeah.
He was 8 of 12 from downtown.
Yeah, he was.
I want to actually get his official stats because I don't want to butcher it. The guy was beyond efficient. I do want to know, Mexico City, I'm not sure could guard me at this point. Former King, Louis King, was out there. And, I mean, I was like, is he going to try defensively?
Hey.
I didn't see it. Stockton won 130 to 102, but Colby did it inside out, was aggressive defensively. He had 43 points. He missed five shots. He was 16 of 21 shooting. He knocked down 8 of 12 from downtown. He had 7 assists. He had 5 rebounds and 4 steals. That's got to be exciting for Sacramento. And the Kings front office was there. Monty McNair was in attendance because the game was at Golden 1 Center this morning. You had some Sacramento Kings coaches in the building. So they got a front row seat to see Colby shine.
And every time we talk about G League players, if you can dominate in the G, there's usually going to be a place for you in the NBA. Especially if you can do it night in and night out. And I feel like Colby Jones has done a great job of really pushing through and finding a way to just stand out because he does all the little things. And today was also hitting all of his shots.
It was fun to watch. Can't wait to see what he does tomorrow against Mexico City. Also, one last super chat to shout out Ben, our guy, one of the OGs from Australia, donates money saying, love the Ellis Herter breakdown, guys. Ellis is the defensive tone setter this team craves. Remember everyone shitting on Monty's 22 draft? Murray plus Sasha plus Ellis plus 2 second rounders? LOL. Hashtag trust in Monty. Appreciate that. Appreciate everyone hanging out with us tonight. We will be back live Sunday evening for a little early evening night chat following Kings and Rockets. Just find a way. It doesn't matter if it's ugly. Just find a way. Enjoy it. We'll be on this journey together. Get together. Why did I say it like that? Together.
We're all in this together.
We love you guys, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.